Good morning, friends. Isn't it a lovely day? Good. A better one soon, because we're having we'll hear from God's word, won't we? You might find the outline helpful, and you might like to jot some notes down as you travel through. So we're looking at this letter that Paul wrote to Philemon, and we'll see what this has got to say to us about our growth as God's people. Let's pray. Our Father, please help us as we come as your people today. We come ready to learn, ready to hear. We come asking you might change us, that we might become people who love and serve the Lord Jesus more and more. Please do that deep work in us and give us a hunger and a thirst to know him and to live for him. Amen. Well, what brings about change in behaviour? Changing behaviour is not too hard, is it? You just give people enough rules and regulations and punishments. You can usually bring some sort of change there, can't you? Even if it's reluctant. But what brings deeper change? What leads to change of your values, your attitudes, your character? What will change that part of you? It's deeper, isn't it? Behaviour is sort of superficial, but what lies behind the behaviour is what we're looking at here, isn't it? What changes that part of us? Education might result in change of knowledge, and education won't change our values, though. It won't change our character. And Christian growth, though, requires change. God Jesus calls on us to follow him, to keep in step with him, to be changed by the Spirit of God, that we might grow in growing more like him in that way. But as disciples of Jesus, we are committed to growing more like him. Indeed, every time we say the confession, which as we did today, we remind ourselves that we are not living in a way that we ought to be living. And we want to change that attitude in our heart that leads us to do those sorts of things that steer us away from God, and we want to come back and serve him loyally. As we say this, we're asking God to act in us, to change us, to bring a change in us. We want to put sin to death. We want to put to death our selfish way of living, and we want to live for Christ. Okay, in this letter to Philemon, Paul shows how God's grace has been deeply effective in Philemon's life. He's the master in the household. He owns everything, right? He's boss man. And how it has brought a revolutionary change in his values and his attitude to life. He has become a follower of the Lord Jesus, having heard Paul and having seen the gospel at work there. And we'll see how God's grace and God's kindness, which Philemon himself experienced, will enable him, Philemon, to decide to treat his runaway slave as a brother of Christ. That's a big change in relationships there. We're going to get to that. How does grace bring about this change is what we're looking at. It's not automatic. It's not like waving a wand and lo and behold, you're changed and you're going to do exactly what God wants. But no, we're going to see that Paul enables Philemon to see the way to make this radical change in his own attitude and life. The letter was probably carried by a guy called Tychicus. Paul's mentioned him infrequently in his actual letters Ephesians, Colossians and Acts. And he's the guy who's Paul holds up very highly, actually, almost as highly as Timothy. And you might just notice that word as you come across him, as you read through his letters again. But it's probably carried by him. He was obviously a trustworthy servant of Paul, and he's brought this letter that Paul's written to Philemon. No personal service in those days. It was all done by hand. And Tychicus carried this letter. He probably accompanied the runaway slave Onesimus, on whom Paul was sending back to his slave master Philemon. Okay, that's a big change that's happening in what we're looking at here. The slave master gets back his runaway slave Onesimus. He'd run away, you notice, hadn't he? What's going to happen when he comes back? What would make him come back of his own heart? Choose to come back with Tychicus. Paul's not even there. He can't sort of hold a high authority and tell Onesimus what he should be doing. No, it's changing of attitudes that we're looking at as we look at this letter here that lead us to make deeper change in our own lives. Tychicus delivers then a letter of grace and truth and peace. It's addressed to Philemon and to the church, you notice, that meets in his house. While the main part of the letter is specially written to Philemon, the opening and closing verses show that the letter is also written to the whole church. Some are mentioned here by name. In verse 2, we see he writes down Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, to Archippus, our sister and Archbishop, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Notice the church meets in Philemon's house. He's a wealthy, a generous follower of Jesus. Verse 3 and 25, Paul affirms that through Jesus, this church that meets in Philemon's house enjoys grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What wonderful blessings have come upon this house to know and experience God's kindness and his peace, to be at peace with God. The letter also shows that Paul obviously had a very high respect of Philemon. Consider what he writes about him in the letter. He describes Philemon as his beloved and fellow worker, a partner, a brother in verse 20, a friend in verse 22. Notice that Paul notices that he also has heard of Philemon's love and his faith, verses 4 and 5 in the letter here. Paul has heard of the real impact the gospel has had in Philemon's life, transforming him. Indeed, in verses 6 to 7, Paul says he has much joy because he's heard that Philemon has refreshed the hearts of the saints. Here is a man in whom the gospel has produced much fruit. He has true love and concern for his fellow Christian brothers. He's provided for them. He's bringing gladness, thankfulness, and joy in their hearts. Given that picture, how would you sort of describe Paul's relationship with Philemon? It's Paul's written because he has a special request to make, though. It's an appeal from grace. That's the second heading on the outlines there. The backstory concerns slavery in Paul's day. So just a little bit of background here, I think. The letter is a special appeal from Paul about a slave named Onesimus, who ran away from his master Philemon. The Roman economy depended on slavery as cheap labour. A slave is not free. He is owned by his master. Onesimus was a runaway slave, which possibly means he may have stolen something or just wanted to escape. Returning slaves would usually be punished fairly severely. Back to the passage. Verses 8 to 21. Explain the main purpose of the letter. Paul has a huge request for Philemon. Verses 8 and 9, he says, although I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what's required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. All right? Paul is sending a runaway slave, Onesimus, back to his master Philemon. Paul appeals to Philemon not to punish him, but to receive him back warmly. Why? It's important to appreciate that Paul's not saying abolish slavery and set all slaves free. That's not what this letter's about. But it's about something far more significant and important. Also, we must be careful not to judge their culture on the basis of our culture. Our culture's not perfect. I heard recently in Coles and Woolies have been fined substantial sums of money for underpaying their employees. You might have read about that. The letter's not about abolishing slavery, but it is about something far more important. Something remarkable has happened in the lives of the main characters, Philemon and Onesimus. Philemon is a church leader. We've already noticed that the church meets in his house, and it highlights another important truth. Philemon himself is a follower of Jesus. He's a disciple. And from Paul's comment in verse 19, that you owe me your very self, he says to him, suggests Paul is reminding Philemon that he, Philemon, became a disciple from Paul's ministry to him, proclaiming the gospel. Paul's letter shows that the gospel's found deep root in the man's life. Paul thanks God for Philemon's faith and his love for the saints. He prays that Philemon may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Philemon has refreshed the hearts of the saints. Verse 7. He's probably been one of the Philippians who'd sent financial aid to Paul often. He's a committed and faithful disciple. The other main character here is Onesimus. Have a look back verse 10. What do you notice what Paul says about Onesimus? What does he say there in verse 10? He became a believer as he heard Paul's gospel message about Christ. So Paul makes several other comments in verses 10 to 20 about Onesimus. He has been very useful to Paul in his ministry. The name Onesimus, you'll see in the margins of your NIV, it's got a little footnote down there telling you Onesimus means useful. Names often mean something, don't they? Here it is, and there's a little pun that Paul makes on that a bit later in his letter. Never mind. He's been very useful to Paul in his ministry, helping him while Paul's been in chains for the gospel. Paul says he would prefer to keep Onesimus, but legally Paul would need Philemon's consent to do that. He owns the slave. So it leads to Paul then making a huge request in verses 16 to 20. He asks Philemon to accept Onesimus back. Notice, no longer as a slave, better than a slave, as a dear brother. This is huge. From an economic point of view, it would be like an employee leaving a full entitlement and coming back as a partner or a director in the business or something, having another go at getting funding from it. Do you notice the reason Paul gives Philemon to accept Onesimus back? Look at the end of verse 16. The main reason he gives is that Onesimus, the slave, is now a brother in the Lord to Philemon. When he ran away, Onesimus was not a disciple. And in verse 10, Paul says he became a spiritual father to Onesimus. Paul means he led Onesimus to Christ. Paul knows what a huge ask this is for Philemon. And in verse 8, Paul affirms that as an apostle of Christ, he could command Philemon to fulfill this request. But Paul says he'd rather appeal on the basis of love, Christ's love. And so from verse 17, he gives four encouragements to help Philemon choose to treat Onesimus as a brother in the Lord. First, he says, he is your brother in the Lord. And secondly, in verse 17, he is valued by Paul, so Philemon should treat this slave Onesimus just as he would treat Paul. Thirdly, verses 18 and 19, if Onesimus owes anything, Paul will pay it back for him in full. And then fourthly, in verse 20, Paul says, yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. If Philemon welcomes Onesimus back like this, it will be a real refreshment or delight to Paul, because such action reveals the deep and sincere effect of the gospel of grace in Philemon's life. It's shown that Philemon realizes that he himself has been a slave to sin, but was set free by the death of Christ and given a future with Christ beyond his wildest dreams. It's clear that Paul knows that his request will not be easy for Philemon. Great, enormously against their culture to do this. I wonder what Paul said to Onesimus to help him choose to go back to his slave master, not really knowing what would happen. Onesimus knows what he deserves as a runaway slave. I reckon that took heaps of faith and guts and buckets of prayer. In this short letter, God helps us see relationships transformed by grace. That's the third heading there on the sheets. God himself has been at work. He has brought the Pharisee Paul to faith in Christ, and now Paul is Christ's slave, proclaiming the gospel to those who've never heard. After hearing the gospel from Paul, Philemon and others in Philippi became followers of Jesus. Now Onesimus has also become a brother in the Lord. God's grace in changing hearts is active and effective in each one. And in this letter, the slave owner Philemon has opportunity to realise the immense value of being in Christ and what deep change it has brought in his own future and his life. He has opportunity to allow Christ to move him to change his attitude and welcome his slave back as a brother in the Lord. Notice Paul's not saying, Philemon, I want you to accept all slaves as if they are free people. He's not saying, I want you to abandon slavery. That may be a good move. That's not what the message is here. What we see rather is the reality of having a new identity in Christ. Verse 16. Both Philemon and Onesimus are brothers in the Lord. Jesus sees them both that way. Will they see each other like that? That's the challenge. By returning, Onesimus shows that he will trust God with the outcome. Paul is confident that Philemon will reflect on his comments and change his attitude to his slave and welcome him back as a brother in the Lord. He wasn't a brother when he left. He is now. Imagine how Onesimus would feel if his former master treated him as a brother in the Lord. Don't you reckon his heart would sing with praise to God for bringing about this change? He would still be a slave. That hasn't changed, but in a very different relationship. Paul wants us to see that God's grace motivates change in us. Verses 16 through to 20. And Paul also helps Philemon, mentioning several benefits for the Philemon will also enjoy to help him make the change. Real change does not come about by giving orders. Paul knows that. As an apostle, I could have commanded you. He knows real change doesn't come that way. But he longs to see the gospel at work in Philemon's life, producing this change of heart. It needs to be a change that Philemon himself makes willingly. And it's God's grace, God's amazing kindness, which is the pattern that we are to follow if we are in Christ. We want to be like him. God's grace has changed Paul's heart. Remember how he described himself, a blasphemer, a murderer, a hater. That's how Paul described himself. It's changed Paul's heart. It's given him a heart of love, compassion, kindness. And it can change yours and mine. This letter from God shows us one example of transformed living through grace. That's the fourth heading. God is at work in every disciple of Jesus, leading us to put sin to death and to live for Christ. This change is not something done to us, but rather we're called upon to seek growth in godliness ourselves. And as we choose to put sinful ways to death, God's Spirit is also at work in us, giving us a desire, the opportunity, effecting his change in us. The Spirit produces his fruit, not one or two, but all the fruit. And we are called upon to keep in step with the Spirit, to keep choosing to live the way the Spirit leads us by putting those characteristics into practice. But all change is hard. And I'll put down there verses 8 and 9 and verse 21. This letter shows that Paul knows just how hard change is. Not just for Philemon, but for all disciples, for you, for me. And through the scriptures, God shows us that our sinful patterns of living, he teaches us how he wants us to live. And in this letter, God's given us one example. Would Philemon have come to see Onesimus as a brother in the Lord if Paul had not written? You see, God uses people in our lives to help us grow. God uses you to help other disciples grow. In the end, this means growth will always involve the scriptures and prayer. To help Philemon to make the choice to grow, God, Paul gave him encouragements to change in verses 28 to 22. We need to help one another to make the change in godliness that he desires in us. God is a giving God. He gives generously. He gave his son to us, immense cost to him, Jesus' blood shed for you and for me. He's given us life. God is generous. Generosity does not just happen. Generosity requires, for example, that we give more money and consequently spend less on ourselves. There's a cost that comes. Our financial needs provide opportunity for us to grow in generosity. God himself does not transfer money out of your account into our account. Our church account, I mean by that. It might be nice if you think he could do that. He could solve many problems, I guess, that way. But he gives you a job that pays you money, and then he gives you and I the responsibility of working out how we're going to use that money. He also ensures that you hear the financial needs that are around, and especially the needs of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Many of us have done so in supporting Year 13 and Youth Works House Weekend and stuff like that here. He gives you the desire to give to support them. And you need to choose to make that bank transfer and do it yourself, though. In this letter, God's shown us what it means to be changed by God's grace. Paul was, so too was Philemon, and later Onesimus. Each of them came to a new view of Jesus. At first, Paul considered Jesus to be a fraud. I expect both Philemon and Onesimus knew nothing about Jesus until Paul came. But God's Spirit opened the eyes of each of these men so that they came to a new view of Jesus. Maybe Jesus is a stranger to you, as he was to them. If he is, then note that in this letter, God helps you to see that how Jesus deals with your brokenness, restores our relationship with God. He gives up a way of life that's worth living. If Jesus is a stranger to you, then meet the real man in one of the Gospels. Talk with me, talk with Matt, talk with later, and look glad to put you in touch with someone who can help that way. Through this letter, though, God provides us with a new view of self. Onesimus was a slave. That is who he was. It's how he was treated, a slave, owned by another human. As a slave, he was devalued and dehumanized. But when he was talking to Paul, who may have been in chains in prison at that time, Onesimus met Jesus, the one who rescued him from despair and gave him life and freedom from death and condemnation and introduced him to a future worth having. In Jesus, Onesimus found hope. He found love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. He found himself as a child of God. And Paul writes to Philemon, letting him know that his slave is now a brother in the Lord. The slave master will need to learn how to relate to his new brother in the Lord. For in God's eyes, they are equal. In the world's eyes, they are still both slave and slave master. But in God's eyes, they are brothers. Brothers with different roles. One a slave, one a slave master. What's your view of yourself? If you are a follower of Jesus, do you see yourself as a fellow brother or sister in the Lord? Do you see yourself as a child of God, deeply loved? Through this passage today, God has shown you who you truly are in Christ. It means that your significance as a person is not based on what you do, but who you are as a child of the High King of Heaven. That's who you are now. A child of the High King of Heaven. Deeply loved, forgiven, adopted, having received God's grace and mercy, you have peace with God. Your future with him is assured. Jesus, you see, gives us a new identity. A new identity we have in Jesus also means we need to have a new view of others. Philemon needed to see that Onesimus was his brother in the Lord. Onesimus' changed status meant that Philemon needed to relate to him differently. He needed to see him not as a slave, but as his brother. This also helps us to realise that in Christ, the barriers that separate us have been broken down. It can be very hard to grasp the reality that and treat each other as brothers or sisters, even though we may be Christian. For example, consider the people you normally talk to over morning tea. Do you tend to chat with the same people most weeks? Could you make an effort to chat with someone else that you don't know, or even someone that you might find difficult in relating to them? Do you consider the youth or the kids as a brother or church, a sister in church? What could you say to them? Well, one thing you know is they've looked at the Bible today. They might have looked at a different passage to you or me, but I bet you they've looked at the Bible today. Maybe that's a place to start, something in common. Maybe you could share that with them. There's another aspect, though, of having a new view of others. Just as Philemon needed to consider Onesimus as a brother in the Lord, so too we need to realise that every person is either in Christ or someone who is under his judgment and condemnation. Every person is either bound for an eternity with Christ or an eternity under God's judgment. What can we do? What can you do to help people you know become a brother or sister in the Lord? Paul is expecting to see God's grace at work in Philemon. Others will see God's grace at work in us as we are transformed by God, transformed to grasp the priority of being saved from condemnation to being saved for Christ. And what a good point to finish and pray. Let's do that. Lord Jesus, we do want to thank you so much for your great kindness and mercy to us, that in your rich love for us, in your obedience to your Father, you gave your life that we might have life. Thank you for taking our sin. Thank you for bearing our punishment in our place. Thank you that you've given us freedom. Thank you that you've brought us into a living relationship with yourself. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love. Please keep changing us. You've brought us into a relationship with you. We ask that you might produce in us the fruit of your Spirit, that we might be the people that love with a character that is changed and reflects your character more and more. Please, in our own lives, help us to see those occasions and situations where we need to put into practice what it means to love and to forgive, to be considerate, to be kind, to be merciful, to be gracious. Please help us to live lives that bring honour and glory to you. And we ask you this in your name. Amen.